We're in Nitivot Shalom on Parshat Nitzavim. We're on page Kuf Tzadi Dalet on the piece Parshat HaTshuva. It says in this week's Parshat, a very, very beautiful grouping of, I think it's like three or four Pesukim toward the end of the Parsha, which is referred to as Parshat HaTshuva, and I assume he's going to quote either some of it or all of it. He says here, Vayaki Yavo Alecha Kol Avnim Ha'ila HaBracha VaKlala. When all of these things come upon you, both the brachot and the kolot, asher natati lefanecha v'gomer, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo. You will then return to Hashem your God, and you will listen to His voice. Parasha zo, Parashat Hatshuva, koreim ota b'chol shana b'shabbat ha'achona shel hashana. Every single year, we read this, which is called Parashat Hatshuva, and we read it on the last Shabbat of the year. It's always read on the Shabbat preceding Rosh Hashanah. V'nei behemshech ne'emar, and further on it says, im yenidachecha b'kzeh ha'shemayim, misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha u'misham yikachecha. It says that a very beautiful, flowery, poetic pesukim here in the second half of Parshat Tzavim, that even if you are dispersed to the ends of the earth, from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather you in, and there from there He will take you back. Vita b'Torat Avot, it says in the Sefer Torat Avot, al pi divrei Azor HaKadosh, shemidat yisod nikreit k'tzat k'tzei ha'shamayim. שהתורה הקדושה אומרת שאפילו אם יהיה נידחך בפגם מידה זו, משם יקבץ לך השם אלוקיך. That even the worst type of avirot that there are, even avirot you send into the worst types of avirot that exists in the realms of arayot, even from there is the way that the Zohar understands it, even if you're that far away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still gather you in from the farthest place. And for our purposes, for our understanding, meaning no matter how far we've gone off, no matter how much, what mistakes we've made over the course of the year, no matter how far we think we are, Misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, Misham yikachecha. No matter how far away you are, from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you back. V'tzarik lomar she'af te'ita b'zohar HaKadosh shal begavim elu ein tshuva mo'elet. And even though the Zohar implies, and there are mefarshim who reinterpret the Zohar and understand what the Zohar means differently, but the Zohar implies that when one makes mistakes in certain issues in the realms of arayot, that there isn't any tshuva for that at all. Midubar kan b'tshuvas gia di'ita sham b'zohar shimoelat af lebegamim elu. That even though when the Zohar says there's no tshuva, it means that there's no regular tshuva. That's how many of the mefarshim understand that you can't do regular tshuva for sins in the realm of arayot. But you can't, if you do tshuva from head to toe, if you do tshuva with your whole being, and that's a whole sugya in and of itself, but if you do tshuva with your whole being, there's nothing, explain those mefarshim on the Zohar, there's nothing that a Jew can do that there's no way to do tshuva for. There's tshuva for everything. And that's what these psukim dafka are bringing out. That's what they're saying. Even if you're kseh ha-shamayim, even if you're all the way at the other end of the earth, you feel so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you back. The Ish Lavin Hagdara Mai Chuvaskya Moilamelat Lakach. What is this intense tshuva that's being talked about that can even bring one back from the farthest reaches? Odam Dua Mifarshim Alomro Kiyavo Alecha Brachava Kala. Also the Mifarshim ask about what does it mean when the bracha and kala have come upon you? Lamu Tsrach Lomar Bracha. Why does it say bracha? The Bishma Klala Muvan Shemura Shmura. Haklala me'orer yudi l'tshuva, meaning kilu, if the klala comes upon you, if all the klalot come upon you, so then you're going to want to do tshuva. You really did something wrong. You do tshuva and you come back. But it says when the bracha and the klala come upon you, and then you do tshuva, what does the bracha have to do with you wanting to do tshuva? The bracha should be a good thing. Aval bracha echi mevi'al tshuva. How does bracha bring a person to do tshuva? Even more so that it says, when the bracha and the kola come upon you, then you're going to do tshuva. Why is it even emphasizing the bracha? So let's get into it. V'ish lomar al pima shekatuv achida benachal kedumim ala pasuk v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha ha'amor b'tchilat ha'parasha. It says on the pasuk about v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, about that you're going to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shavta otiyot Shabbat. That shavta is otiyot Shabbat. Dehainu. That the tshuva that we're talking about even requires additionally a Shabbos Kodesh. Shleimut ha-tshuva hi rak b'tzeiruf im Shabbat Kodesh. Ba yishkoach elyon shel tshuva. That somehow tshuva is inherently within the fabric of Shabbos itself. And that tshuva combined with the koach of Shabbat, that's what can bring a person back to a place no matter how far away that they go. That somehow, again, it's hinted to even in the name of Shabbat, that Shabbat is the koach to be lashuv, to bring a person back. A person has to open themselves up to that. A person has to allow Shabbat to bring them back. If a person throws out a life vest and somebody decides that they want to drown instead, you can drown. But the Shabbos is that life vest that gets thrown out to us, where all we have to do is reach out and grab it, and it's going to pull us back in. But tshuva with Shabbat, that's where that koach is coming from. Kemo shamru chazal, chazal say, hashomer Shabbat kihilchata, that a person who keeps Shabbat completely kahalacha, and also the implication here is kashkafa, meaning they're really living Shabbat on Shabbat. They're keeping it, they're keeping the mitzvot, and they're living Shabbat on Shabbat, says the Gemara on Gemara Shabbos. Afilu avar avodah zarah kedor enosh mochalin lo. Even if a person does the worst type of avodah zarah that there ever was, like there was in the generation of Enosh, then he can have tshuva. So to understand this deeper, we have to understand that there's a difference between tshuva miyira and tshuva miyahava. Tshuva out of fear, out of awe, and tshuva out of love. Kemo shekatuv chazal, as chazal say, da'ashav miyira, zidonot na'asot lo kishgagot. Va'ashav miyahava, zidonot na'asot lo kizchuyot. That one who does tshuva miyira, any unintentional sins that one might have done, they become like accidental sins. Vashiv mi'ahava, zdonot naselok zukiyot. But if you do it out of ahava, if you tshuva mi'ahava, then they become zukiyot, which is an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing, the Gemara says. What does that mean? That if you do tshuva mi'ahava, that the zdonot themselves don't just get forgiven and don't just become shkagot. They become zukiyot. So we'll see. First, let's see how he explains it, and then we'll maybe add some layers. This is very astonishing. I can understand that if you do tshuva miyira, fine. So then, if you did something that was horrible, it becomes bad. It becomes less severe because there's a recognition that you have that you did something wrong, and you showed that, and you did tshuva. But how is it possible that tshuva miyava, how could they become zchuyot? You still did an avera. That doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. Where did these zchuyot come to a person? Where's the tzaradin in that? How is that possible? You come to a Kaddish Baruch Hu 120 and you throw all these mitzvot in front of him. What are those mitzvot? Averot. Oh, I did tshuva me'ava. Now they're mitzvot. Now they start to go down toward my down payment to my chelik in Gan Eden. How is that possible? So the direction that he takes, and there are many directions to understanding this Gemara, is that tshuva mi'ava is a level that's lamala min ha-teva. It is, you're right, it doesn't make any sense, and it is totally above nature. As the Rambam says, it's beautiful, the language here that he's going to quote. The Rambam says, what is real ahava? And he describes this in Hilchot Tshuva, clearly indicating that the tshuva that's desired is tshuva me'ahava. And he describes it, look at the Lashon here. Kitzad yahuva re'uya. What type of ahava is expected of us? We'd expect, because we like to think as the Rambam is a cold rationalist. How can you explain love? Who's going to explain love? Because you know what? He was the Rambam also. And the Rambam knew exactly what he meant when Ahavat Hashem, what that means. And he lived it also. Hushi ehavet Hashem ahava gedola yitera aza me'od. To love a Kadosh Baruch Hu with this tremendous, overflowing yira. Ad shetehei nafsho kishura b'ahavat Hashem. To the point where his whole soul is overwhelmed with, is connected to Ahavat Hashem. V'nimsha shogeba tamid, and he becomes love's crazy. Crazy with love for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't sound like the rationalist that I thought he was, right? Crazy with love for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So much so ki'ilu hu chole ahava, like he's lovesick. She'ein da'ato pnuya. That a person is not able to move one's mind away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu for a second, whether they're sitting, they're sitting, they're up and about, or they're in their house. Whether he's eating or drinking. Like Shlomo Melech said, I'm lovesick for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And all of Shirashim is about this lovesickness for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Rambam describes what true Ahavat Hashem is. And again, that being the premise that's the Ahavat Hashem that we're talking about, that's in and of itself is totally irrational, totally beyond. That it's able to even, in a crazy way, totally nehepach, transform. If the tshuva is coming from that place, it's able to transform even sins into zchuyot. It's an incredible thing. But to have that feeling, again, what is tshuva? Tshuva means that I can't, meaning you're not saying like, I'm really sorry. I know what you want to do to me. I know what's going to happen this year. I don't want it to happen. I'm really sorry. Had I known that this is going to be the repercussions, I never would have done this. That's tshuva meyira. Tshuva me'ava is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I love you so much. I'm lovesick for you. I don't know what came over to me. But because I love you so much, I would never have wanted to do that, and I can't believe I did it, and I'm sorry that I did it. You're going to punish me, you're not going to punish me, it's not the point, I don't care. I care because I care. That's why I'm apologizing, that's why I'm doing tshuva, that's why I'm crying on Rosh Hashanah, that's why I'm crying on Yom Kippur. That's why I'm crying when I'm doing vidui. Because I can't believe I did that to you. I would never do such a thing to you if I was in my right mind. And that's why the Gemara actually presumes. It says that when a person does an avera, it's because why? Because a ruach shtus came over a person. That they literally went insane for a moment. Because what sane person would do something against their creator? What sane person would go against the Kadosh Baruch who loves it so much? And that's what it means to come back and do tshuva mi'ava. And it takes work to get to that place. It's the work that we're supposed to be doing now in Elul, in the month of Ani L'Dodiva Dodili. In the month of reestablishing that union between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And remembering that we're coming to a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of Avan, out of love. We don't see language like this anywhere else in the Rambam. He usually is very clear, concise, direct. He's giving over halachot. Where does he get kind of flowery like this? He doesn't even go into, in this instance, he should go into, what is true Yirat Hashem? He doesn't even do that. Only by Ahava. He goes so much to say and explain that you have to be lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where would you have expected him to explain where what Ahavat Hashem is? In the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem, right? It's in the wrong place. If he's going to go on and on and on and describe what Ahavat Hashem is, put it by Ahavat Hashem, what is doing in Hilchot Tshuva? Why is it here? The Rambam is coming to explain in Hilchot Tshuva because the Rambam understood that this is the tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. What he was doing in the Mishnah was codifying from the Gemara, the Halacha. And this is part of what the Gemara is about, is telling us this is how you do tshuva. In explaining Hilchot Tshuva, et inyan tshuva mi'ava, he's explaining tshuva mi'ava. Shia tshuva ru yava shlima, that's real tshuva, that's the tshuva that's really wanted from us. How to transform even zonot to become zchuyot. That's why he asked, what is real ahava? Because in this context, you need to know. You need to know an ahavat Hashem also. But here, here's where he decides to put it, to emphasize, to put a punctuation point on. Do tshuva me'ava. That's how tshuva needs to be. What kind of tshuva is going to transform even those zdonot to zchuyot? That's this tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't eat and not drink. He can't sleep. Where the person is totally in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shatava Musachat, by the two of you who haven't been there yet, and you've probably experienced before you were there, when you're dating the person that you know is the one, life stops. Life stops. It doesn't go anywhere. Your whole life is phone calls and emails and texting and thinking and obsessing and doodling, and your whole life becomes about that other person. It whole becomes about that. When am I going to see them next? And the point is that a person is supposed to bring that into their marriage also, and that becomes the real avoda. Because when you're not with them all the time, so you want to get close to them, you want that almost, if you will, tshuva, so to speak. Meaning you want to get back to be with them again, you want to get back to a closest with them. But there's an inherent distance because you're not married yet. The goal is the avoda of marriage is to maintain that intensity within marriage itself. That's the avoda of marriage. That's the avoda with us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all probably remember the moment in life where we found God, so to speak, even if we grew up from our whole lives. Hopefully we had that moment at some point, whether it was in a summer camp, or whether it was I guess it could happen in day school, whether it was in day school, if for a lot of people it happened to them if they spend a year in Israel when they're doing their year in Israel, that moment where you're like, oh, I get it now. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And you're like, forget it, I'm putting my whole life on hold and I'm going to just focus on God, which happens to work out because you already put your whole life on hold to focus on God and that you're in Israel. And you remember what that was like. The avoda of the marriage that you entered into with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at that moment, where you experience a little bit of yichud with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is to make that real in our lives every day forever, like within a marriage. To have that love sickness where you don't need to be, where you don't need to go on a business trip for 2 weeks and miss your spouse. Where you don't need to be on, where you don't need to have not had a chance to talk for a week because you have so many kids and everything's been crazy and you miss your spouse. Where you're just living and thinking about yourself the same way that when you meet the one, all you can do is think about them. To the point where you forget that you have friends and school and work and responsibilities and details. Details like eating and sleeping. Details. My wife and I we had a very crunched time frame. We had a 6-week engagement. So there were a lot of things to care for the wedding. But between the fact that I wanted to spend time with her in the wedding, the pictures of my wedding, I looked like I'm non-existent. I was totally gaunt at my wedding because I hadn't eaten or slept in around 2 or 3 months, which wasn't healthy. That's not what you're. But that's the point. It's not healthy. It's not normal. That's lovesick. That's lovesick. The way it's supposed to be. That's the way where we're trying, the avoda that we're trying to put into create with God, and we think to ourselves, oh, how am I supposed to achieve that? That's the point. We're already in that marriage with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do I work to create that sense of love that I had in that moment of inspiration where I came to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How do I now bring that into my life every day, day in and day out, because I entered into that conflict with the Kadosh Baruch Hu because I love the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because I recognize that I'm in a loving relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that He loves me and that I love Him. How do I build that into my day? How do I build that into my life? Where when I do that, then when I come to do tshuva, davar pashut, that the only reason I'm going to want to do tshuva, I don't care about the onesh. I don't care about the onesh. I care about the fact that I hurt God, so to speak. I care about the fact that I went against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who I love so much, and I can't believe I did that. Let's take another paragraph. That this parsha also, which is parshat tshuva, is also dealing with tshuva me'ava, which is the whole endpoint, the whole ultimate goal, the apex of tshuva. So first of all, that's why it starts off with v'haya. That whenever a paragraph starts off with the word v'haya, it usually implies that something happy is going to happen. As opposed to Vayihi, which is interesting, that those are the two options. Vayihi always implies something negative is going to happen, and Vahaya always implies that something positive is going to happen. So it starts off, he says, Vahaya, meaning it's Lashon Simcha, because it's going to be a Tshuva Me'ava. V'gam Vahaya Roshei Tevot. Wow. Yismechu Hashamayim V'tagel Haaretz. That Vahaya Roshei Tevot, it's hinting to this fact of this whole joy that's coming out of the Briya. D'mayrei Bishlimut HaTshuva, it's the whole completion of Tshuva. This highest level of tshuva me'ava, she yehudi oset tshuva b'pnimiyut ha'lev, that a Jew does tshuva from the insides of their lev. Me'rov ha'avato la'kadosh baruch, out of love for ha'kadosh baruch, v'zeh she'nizkar kol pam parshat ha'lashon Hashem Elokecha. And that's why through this whole parsha it says Hashem Elokecha. It doesn't say Hashem. It doesn't say Elokim. It says Hashem Elokecha. She'mitoch she'yudi margish, because this, by a Jew feeling, she'Hashem Yiparachu Elokecha. Hashem Elokecha, He's your God. It's personal, it's real, it's intimate. Hashem Elokecha, He may be Yud Kei Vav Kei, He may be infinite. He's that infinite God that's out there, that's amazing, that's wonderful, that's awesome, that I'm in awe of. But that awesome God is also Elokim, which means in this world, in life. But not just in life, Elokecha, He's in my life. I have an intimate connectivity with He that is beyond. Halokim shelcha bahu l'tshuva me'ava. That's what brings a person to tshuva me'ava, is that recognition that God is in my life. He's connected to me. I'm in that intimate relationship with Him. V'al derech hasipor me'rav hakadosh, Rav Zusha. Like the Halakha of Rav Zusha, there was a story told about him. Shepam achat amar b'drasha l'tzibor, that one time he was giving a drasha over to the tzibor. And he said, Achim Karim, what later became holy brothers, right? Achim Karim. Hello, Akadosh Baruch Hu, hevetchem kol kach. Akadosh Baruch Hu loves you so much. Hare banim atem Hashem Elokechem. You're God's children. He looks at you like His children. V'alachak Rabbi Meir, and we pass like Rabbi Meir, shebein kach hu bein kach hurim banim. That no matter what we do, we will always be banim Hashem. We'll always be God's children. The same way, even lo alinu chas v'shalom, it should never happen if a parent tries to disown a child. Lo alinu. They can never break that genetic bond, whether they like it or not. Whether they like it or not, they're always connected to their parents. So too, no matter what we do, God is promising us we will always be children. We can never disconnect ourselves from Him. No matter what we do, we will always be spiritually, genetically connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That can't be cut off. And therefore, how can I do anything against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the whole congregation started crying. How could I have upset my Father in heaven? How could I have upset a Kaddish Baruch Hu? How could I have done this? How could I have done this? V'zeu shamro v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. And that's what it means. We come back to Hashem Elokecha. Shebazet tamuna yesod shel tshuva. Because that, in that is hidden the whole foundation of tshuva me'ahava. Sheyudi argish Hashem Baruch Hu Elokecha ve'ech osim neged ritzonoi barach. We feel that God is our God, our personal God, and therefore how could I ever do anything against Him? He's not God who's out there looking at me from a distance and looking at the whole world. I'm just one cog in the machine. That's not how it works. I'm supposed to, whether we feel it or not, the goal of what we're supposed to have is a vibrant, alive, passionate relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu that gets into the nuances of every day of our lives, that penetrates every piece of our mind, of our heart, of our lives. That's what we're supposed to feel, that He's Hashem Elokecha. Tachlit shlemut ha-tshuva, hi tshuva mi'ava. The goal of tshuva, like we've been saying, is tshuva mi'ava. Ara madriga. Until we get to the point where the Rambam, like the Rambam was talking about, that he feels a loveliness for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that their sins become zchuyot. What does it mean when all the brachot and klod come upon you and then you return to God? When a person is lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein etzlo shum hevdel im ba'a alav bracha. It makes no difference whether what's coming upon them is bracha or klala. Mikol masha kadosh baruch hu shaleach lo shomea hu et dvar Hashem me'oro mekaymo atshuvot ha'ashivot el vavecha. Meaning, when you're lovesick, it doesn't matter what it is. It's a bracha, great. It's a klala, okay. But if it's coming from you, that's all I care about. It's coming from you. I don't care whether you send me flowers, and I don't care whether you send me a text that you tell me that you're upset with me. If you send me flowers, I just want to get closer to you, because you're sending me flowers. And if you send me a text message saying I'm upset with you, I want to text you right back because I can't believe that something went wrong and I want to get close to you again. But the end goal is the same, I want to get closer to you. So when the bracha comes, the klala comes, if it's tshuva me'ava, it's always, life is tshuva, the whole all of life is tshuva. It's one of the deep reasons why, when one goes back to Him, one needs to think about it critically. The fact that, to recognize, the Gemara tells us that one of the things that was created before the world was created was tshuva. That tshuva may not just be something that we do when we make a mistake. Tshuva seems to be so lechatchila that it was a premise upon which the world was created. Why? Because even if we don't do something wrong, the goal of existing is to desperately want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bein bebracha, bein beklala, ze lo meshaneh. That's love. That's love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hear to heed His voice. Shedishmat kol Hashem mikol haba alecha ba'in. You will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shamata bekolo and hear His voice. What does it mean to hear His voice? Meaning, you're doing tshuva because you heard His voice. But it doesn't matter what it was. You were able to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because whether it was a bracha or whether it was a klala, the reason why you're doing tshuva is because you heard His voice. You recognized that what happened to you right now was Me'ez Hashem. You recognized that whatever came upon me right now, what happened to me right now was Me'ez Hashem. It's Me'ez Hashem. To be able to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's 5:32. I was supposed to leave at 5:30. So we say sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know about you. I'm ready for Rosh Hashanah now. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me a gift. That right now, I'm able to learn a little more Nesivos Shalom with you guys. And it's inspiring me to recognize Zeh Bracha, Zeh Me'ez Hashem. And I want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're giving me a chance to learn more Torah like this. Do we hear that voice? Do we hear that call? When we hear that call, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, V'shamata bekol, because we hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us in every moment of our lives. And there's so much Torah on that everything that comes our way, the Sfarim talk about this at length, every single thing that comes our way, everything is all Me'ez Hashem. Everything. And then we have to attune ourselves to recognize that, to see that, to feel that, to hear that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in dialogue with us always. Always. The way that it's understood is that everybody with their own bechira chofshit can choose to be a messenger of that message to me. Kilu, I had the choice to be the one to tell you, to teach you, to learn with you this nitivot shalom. But I'm just a shaliach. Are you all sitting here recognizing that this? Why are you three here and not the people who were, not the other people who were supposed to be, who signed up for the chabur? Where are they? Well, they're where they're supposed to be, and you're where you're supposed to be. How did you get here? I haven't seen you in months. How did you get here? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to be here for this nitivot shalom. So you could say, wow, I would so feel this way if only HaKadosh Baruch Hu would talk to me, or to say, no, how did I end up here? He's an ace. How did I end up here in this particular chabur on this day before Rosh Hashanah? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you here. And to say that with conviction in your heart, that that's the only reason I'm here. It was up to me whether I wanted to be the person to learn it with you, but you had no, you were going to be here no matter what, and this is going to happen no matter what. And that balance between about how our bechira works, and these are all bigger sugyot, but that everything that comes our way, everything that comes our way, the person we learn it from most starkly, and I'm not going to open it up now because I want to keep going into Tivot Shalom, but you should take a look inside, that when I quoted a lot because it's just a powerful story, that when David HaMelech is running away from his son, Avshalom, he's running away. He lost his kingdom to his own son. He's in the deepest dumps, and he walks out, and they walk into a city, and then one of the Sanhedrin walks out and starts cursing at David HaMelech. And the head of his army comes and says, I'm translating, let me kill this dead dog for cursing you. That's actually Lashon of the Tanakh there. David HaMelech says, no, don't kill him. He couldn't have come to curse me unless God wanted me to hear this curse. Mind blown. That sensitivity and recognition that if that's what, a tree could have fallen, the earth could have opened up, he could have tripped and fallen, he could have broken his leg, he could have gotten laryngitis, there are 100 million things could have happened. Says David HaMelech, if he got here, it's because I needed to hear this klala. And that's what made David HaMelech, David HaMelech. David HaMelech, who is the paradigm of tshuva, because he's always hearing God talk to him. David HaMelech, who also had a hashkafic sensitivity to recognize once he was reinstated as king, that halakhically somebody did retroactively curse the king and made sure that his son beheaded him. But that dual recognition of there being consequences for our actions, and that yes, somebody chose to be that shaliach, but on the other hand, pushing that aside for a moment and recognizing that despite the fact that I have to deal with the fact that you chose to bring me that message, for good or for bad, that message was meant for me by God. And that God is always talking to me. The only way we can return to God is if we open up our ears and hear that He's talking to us all the time. All the time. We just don't hear. And we can. And we can attune ourselves to it, but we just don't hear. He says, fourth line on the top, on the second column on the page. Kuf Tzadi Hei, second column, fourth line. He hears from everything that's happening to him. Everything that's happening, all that person hears is Kol Hashem. That's crying out. Come and return to me, and I will return to you. I just want to get close to you. Break out in the Etan Katz song now, right? You feel you have to. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitocha bracha hu mitorer lihitkarev al Hashem Yibrachemo miyirat haklala. That even through the bracha, a person is brought about to a place where they want to just get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way as when they want to return because of fear of the call that's going to come upon them. That's the level to reach. V'zehu omro, and this is what it means. Im yeni dachecha b'kseh Hashemayim misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha misham yikachecha. That even if you're out to the farthest reaches of the earth, from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you back. Sha'afal pi ha'amor harei tshuva mi'ahava hi ha'tshuva ski'ah. Because tshuva mi'ahava can bring one back even from all other sins where other tshuva won't work. Tshuva mi'ahava is the key. You do tshuva mi'ahava that can bring even sins, even chata'im, that are seemingly impossible to do tshuva for. Tshuva mi'ahava can do it. Tshuva mi'ahava can do it. If you bring out that fiery, burning passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can sear away that sin from within yourself. That's what can do it. It's that love. That fire of love can do that. V'al kein, The parasha hazot, the Mayri b'tshuva me'ahava, this whole parsha which is dealing with tshuva me'ahava, ne'amar im yeni dachecha b'gomer, it's talking about no matter how far out you are, shekashiru cholech olei ahava, when a person is lovesick, as afilu im yeni dachecha b'midazo gam misham ikabeska shem elokecha misham ikecha, no matter what sin one did, even in the worst, farthest reaches of Ariot lo aleinu, a person can come back. A person can come back. That even in one of the little, one small subtlety here, just to bring it out a little bit, that even if I'm in a place, and this is so much of what the struggle of life is, even if I'm in a place where I recognized that I did something that was so usher, and why dafka arayot, where I turned away from my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and instead chose a relationship with somebody else who God said was usher to me. I chose somebody else over God. And even more meaningfully than that, what that really means, because when a person does that, they really don't care about the other person, because they care about the other person, they wouldn't want them to do the avera either. It means that I chose myself over God. I chose my selfish, lustful nature over God. Even when I was so horrible that I looked God in the face and I said, if it's me or you, I choose me, and walked away and did an avera kazo, which is a break in that relationship. If then that passes and I have this emergence of a love sickness, I feel alone now because I chose myself, and I realize that by choosing myself, even if there's somebody next to me, if God's not here, I am alone. And through that loneliness, through the depth of that loneliness, even that is able to stir up in me a love sickness for God. That love sickness can bring me back from the farthest reaches of God that I've gone, farthest way I've gone, which is into the depths of my selfishness and myself. There I can come back from with what? With the burning, that love sickness of feeling that emptiness and admitting that to myself that I made a mistake. And saying, I don't know how I could have done this and I made a mistake and I shouldn't have chosen the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even from that, even when I chose to break off my relationship with God and chose myself instead and that other person instead. Love sickness for God, if you love God with an ahava gemara and that ahava brings you to tshuva me'ahava. You can be as far away, you can be at the other end of the earth. God wants you back. God wants us back. That can get a person back. Fear of sin is not going to work at that point. But love sickness for God, if God sees that you overwhelmingly love Him to the point where you can't believe what you've done because you can't believe that you would have hurt Him in that way, so to speak. You can't believe that you would have gone against Him in that way. That's where you're coming from. We'll work it out. We'll work it out. And that just to finish off, and we'll stop here. So then Tivot Shalom said, Shlamal Amin Ateva. I'm of a personal, the way that my internal systems work is I always understand Judaism in terms of action and reaction. And there is another explanation of the Gemara, which also explains why that can work. And to just very quickly say it, that there are two ways to look at when you get down from a sin. When you get down, when something happens, and when you sin, when you make a mistake, it's like falling down into a pit. And when you fall down into a pit, so you can try and slowly, you can try to claw your way out. And if you claw your way out, so if you really want it desperately and you're afraid you're going to die of starvation in that pit, and you claw your way out and it hurts, but you claw your way out, you get right back to where you started. So, okay, zonot naselos kishkagot. But if instead you realize that when you fell into that hole, you push down and realize there's a trampoline underneath you, and you use that potential energy to shoot you up, using that extra place of going down, using that potential energy from squeezing down your legs and going down further and further and further. And yes, you're going farther away from God. But you then retroactively turn that distance from God into potential energy that can propel you toward God. When you jump up, do you end up at ground level or you end up higher? You end up higher. That's how I've always understood that Gemara. That's how it was explained to me. Which is, yes, you can see it as the Malamina Teva, but you can also see it on the flip side as, what you're doing is if you truly see what you've done, and you say, I never would have done this l'chadchila, but now that I've done this, I'm not even wasting this opportunity. It showed me how low I can sink. It showed me how far I can be and how much I hate being this far, which I never would have known had I gotten this far. And I use that to fuel me to propel myself even closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu than I was before. Zdonot naselok hizchuyot. You're transforming them to zchuyot because you're saying retroactively, yes, I have to deal with the repercussions of that sin and I'm going to live with that forever. But I'm going to use that forever to fuel me to get closer to you. Because everything's about you, and I made a mistake, but everything's about you. Bezrat Hashem, we should be able to experience in our own lives on a human level what it means to be chole chole ahava. to bring it into those human relationships, but also that we should be able to use that as a paradigm, and if we haven't experienced it, to remember those moments we got close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that moment of inspiration where we first connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to work to build to a place of Ahava again, to come back to a place of Ahava first. And there's still Elul left, there's still Anila Dodiva Dodi left. And to get to that place where then we're propelled forward with that Ahava, to do tshuva mi'ahava in a way where we bind ourselves with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a yichud gamur, in a union with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, where all I want is Him and all He wants is me, where we're just totally together, and through that everything else washes away. Bezrat Hashem, we should achieve a level of Ahavat Hashem. We should use that Ahavat Hashem to do tshuva mi'ahava, that we should not only see a year that brings us tremendous fruit and wonderful things and goodness, a shana tova, from all of the good things we're going to accomplish this year, but that we should even be zocheh over the next few days and the next few weeks to dig deep and transform even our zdonot to be for us zichuyot for the shana that's coming in front of us. Abba alinu letova. Amen.